You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Well, hey there, everybody. You're listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got the 365 Days of Horror, as we're going to call him Jordan. Jordan, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I have really bad, like, Sunday night fears because after a year and a half of working from home and barely leaving my bed and nightstand, I am being forced to go back into the office this week.
Got the Sunday scaries there a little bit, huh?
Feels terrible. Like, I need to reteach myself how to, like, set my alarm clock and when I actually need to leave to beat traffic. And I probably have to go to the store and buy clothes that fit now.
I understand that feeling, though. Like, at my last job, I would get that Sunday dread Friday night, and it would stick with me until I was in my office on Monday morning.
But now it might kill me this time after being so careful for so long. It's like, well, everyone into the office and try not to cough on each other.
And you ought to, like, wear one of those, like, chemical suits, you know.
Hazmat suit.
Yeah, just be so, like, you can protect yourself, number one, and be so off-putting to everyone around you they ask you to work from home again.
Luckily, I have, like, my own little office, so I'm just going to keep the door shut. And I've contemplated just putting up a little sign answering generic questions that people are going to ask. How are you? Fine. How are you really? Terrible. Do you want to get lunch? No. I mean, I don't have a hazmat suit, but I did get a luchador style protective face covering, so I'm just going to wear that as sort of, I am mad that I am here, but I am also going to have a little bit of fun.
Well,
there's nothing you could do to stop me.
I hope you got a heel, Lucha. That way people know to stay away.
I got Ultimo Dragon, but it's black and gold, so it could be heelish.
Ah, that's good. That's good. Hey, you know, we're not alone on this. You know, we're all in this together. By which I mean that we got Brennicide in the building. Breno, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me back. Good to be back. And I'm your pretty typical hipster who's pretending to be metal. I'm a huge poser, and as a huge poser, I've been listening to the new Def Heaven album a few times. Have you guys talked about that? I know it's been a month since I've, you know, been on and off the show, and we didn't get to talk about it recently. But you guys get to listen on that one?
I don't think we have.
Since you've been gone, I feel like I've been dying, and it's like a dream.
Yeah. Is it peaceful? No. Is it blissful, I mean?
Sort of.
No.
I'd like to dream. I like to dream. No, I don't. I really don't think we've talked about this since you and I talked about this.
Did we talk about it? Maybe we messaged back and forth a bit about it. But yeah, we didn't get into it much on the show. And it's been about a month since it came out, like I said. You know what? No, sir. I don't like it.
You don't like the new Def Heaven record?
I don't. I've been listening to it a few times. I tried to like it. I mean, some parts are good, but most of it, I mean, I listened to it a few times and I was over it. I think, like, fundamentally, it kind of, I mean, obviously, since they're changing up the style, it is going to change what the band sounds like if he's going to clean sing instead, but I feel like kind of the defining force of Def Heaven was, like, it was kind of this nice music with this guy on the vocals really fucking bringing it. And I just don't think he's really bringing it on this one. I think you can bring it and clean sing at the same time. That's totally possible. We hear it all the time in metal, but just not happening on this record.
So I gave it one cursory listen and nothing really jumped out and grabbed me. You know, granted, it was passive listening. I really didn't give it the attention it probably deserves, but I don't give any record the attention it deserves.
No.
But I will say this. If you were feeling a little bit put off by the new record, it's not really tickling your jimmies or whatever the fuck, the two preview tracks for the new Mole album are up.
Yeah.
The band from Denmark that's essentially kind of a copy of Def Heaven.
Yeah. That they came out in that same era of that sort of thing. And I've heard one of them, I think. I think that was, like, I think a lot of people had commented they were bummed out about Def Heaven, but they were really stoked about that.
So if you like Brought to the Water, and you wish a band would just make iterations of that, which I that describes me.
Yeah,
like that record is going to be fucking fantastic. I'm really into the two preview tracks they put up, and I already pre-ordered the whole record.
I would love for someone from that region of the world to tell me how to pronounce that O with the line through it. Is it mole? Is it moyle? Is it male?
I think a moyle is something else, right, Jordan?
Yes, a moyle performs circumcision. So I mean, maybe if they want to go that route.
That's probably what it is.
Pretty brutal name for a band. Put a little ice on it, you'll be fine.
Maybe names.
Yeah, that's how you start a show.
We're professionals. We've done fucking 400 episodes of this shit.
It's true. And hey, I saw Ghost Bath is putting out more music that's mediocre.
There was a lot of, I don't know, it was a different time in 2014. That's all I can say.
Isn't that weird that just like a few years ago was just too different?
I pre-ordered like the original pressing of vinyl for that first record, and I feel like embarrassed to say that now.
What, Moon Lover?
Yeah.
That was a great fucking record. And
I liked it.
I think Stargazer came out after, and I initially was like, yes, this is great, but you know, and I wrote that review of it, and I thought it was really fun, and I just fell off immediately. I listened to it again, and I was like, yeah, you know, I kind of overplayed this. It wasn't that good.
Can you think of any other bands that have just like had such a stratospheric high followed immediately by like just nothing, by total derision by everyone?
I mean, they're still on a major metal label that's putting out their albums. Essentially based off of people finding them on Bandcamp and going, oh my God, they're from China. I love this.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, that's one of the biggest things that got them a lot of attention. It wasn't just the music. It was white metal writers and journalists going gaga over the potential of having this music being done by someone from another country.
Yeah, it was a little tokenizzy. I don't know how to say that, but it was, I mean, I guess the context of it was really cool if it was from China, because there's that whole thing where a lot of art gets censored in China. And when I was listening to it thinking they were from China, I was like, oh, the guy's just screaming random things because he can't really speak English or anything. So that's rad. But
people bought into the gimmick.
Yeah.
And wanted it to be something special. And then it was like, oh, I'm just a guy from Minnesota and living in North Dakota, and I made a terrible, horrible, offensive joke by putting out a broken English interview, and that's your legacy forever. But hey, you got a nuclear blast out of it.
Good job.
Yeah, man. I mean, we interviewed the guy forever ago, and we asked him point blank, like, what do you think about this after the fact? And, you know, it. Granted, I haven't listened in years, but I think it was something along the lines of worth it.
Right, because, I mean, but that's how you have that huge high and now this kind of middling low. People who initially were interested kind of fell off after that because it's like, oh, another United States white guy making a scummy album. We don't have enough of those. So
it's also depressive suicidal black metal. You're not going to have a massively wide audience for very long with that because it is disturbing to listen to. And sometimes you want to listen to something disturbing, and other times you want to listen to, I don't know, a Metallica box set of covers that's 4 hours long.
All right, so we're gonna get into the news. The news might be metal, it might not be. That's up to us. But I have just one last question of you know, related to the banter before we get into it. So
just killing my segue.
I know, did I kill your segue?
You killed.
Put the laser sounds in after.
I'll put the laser sounds in after this. But here's the question, okay? If 2014, 2013, 16, 17, whatever, if that was like the blackened gaze time of Def Heaven and Moyles and Ghost Bath and all that good stuff. And that's kind of fallen off, and people have kind of been disinterested in that. And those guys are making different albums now. What's the metal thing now? What are we seeing now that all the kids are craving?
I think about that a lot, Breno, and I don't think that we've yet latched on to the new thing. I mean, if you asked me 2-3 years ago, it would be the old school death metal revival. If you asked me 4 or 5 years ago, it would be like a sludge revival. I don't think that we've yet like turned our gaze into one particular thing, but I have a prediction.
Okay.
I really think, and this is going to be fucking obnoxious for a while, I think that power metal is going to be the next go-to.
Oh, no.
I know. Really? Yeah, I threw some grass up in the air. I'm seeing which way the wind gusts might be coming from, and I feel like that's the next thing.
I think that makes sense. It's been a while since, but Dragon Force was the big name for whatever 6 months that it was. And we really do go through cycles of just 5 or 6 genre revivals at this point. And occasionally you'll get a gent or something else that is slightly different, but again, it's still not that far off from everything else. So I don't know, power metal, folk metal, something.
Well, I don't think folk metal is yet there. I think it's going to be the full on cheese.
I think people probably need something nice and fun after everything we've been through. So maybe that's like the roaring 20s jazz era is just the roaring power metal era.
I agree with you guys because of this, right? So Dragon Force, that kind of little power metal era we had in 2007, 2008. I think 2007, 2008, that's probably the birth of what we call the hipster. And I think it was just like maximum irony poisoning in terms of humanity overall.
Yeah, so, I'm still completely irony poisoned. And exactly. It's ruined my relationships.
Right. It's just ruined everything. So now what we see with the new generation is just ironic irony, which is the worst thing ever. Like, they're taking SpongeBob, which is already like a really zany, crazy show, and they're memeing that. It's like, that's not what memes are. You can't just take something that's already objectively funny and then just try to make it funny. But that's where we're at. So I think that makes sense. Power metal, it's going to be like, oh, hey, let's make fun of this ironic thing from 10 years ago and be ironic about it. And now we're just doubling down on that layer. So agreed. That's what's going to happen.
I remember seeing not that long ago, someone put out a tweet of like generational, how generations did memes. Like Gen X and millennials, and for Gen Z it was just a picture of a guy that was blurry and it said Dave.
Yeah. Like Bingo's Binted, that kind of shit. Like that doesn't mean anything to me. It's not funny. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just not hip enough. I don't get it anymore. But you know what is hip? You know what is cool and what's always current? It's metal news. Let's talk metal news. Let's go through the tabs on our browsers and report the things that happened in the last couple weeks.
I think that we had, for like the first 13 minutes, we had a really strong show.
Fuck it. Look, I have all the reports on my desk here. I have everything that we could have talked about. At any moment, I could just throw it right in the fucking bin. Just the metaphorical bin here could just be full of this as the trash that it is. None of this is really that interesting.
Yeah, but some of it is funny to me, and okay. It's important that we get those things out in the world.
Fine. All right. So let's do it.
I have one thing I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Because this is something, like last week when we did our show, which was basically, hey, the worm has turned. All of these chickens have come home to roost. There was one story I wanted to get in there that we did not get a chance, and I feel like if we don't touch on this, it'll be forgotten until the next time this band is in the news, which, I don't know, could be a week from now, could be 6 months from now, we'll see.
Great. Let's get it out of the way then. What's happening?
Nick Hippa, the, you know, the
famous
guy.
Famous for his violations.
Thank you. I was trying to get there and I couldn't do it. Nick Hippa violation. He quit as I lay dying.
No.
Oh no.
Oh no. He was the best part.
Which one was he again?
He was the guitar guy.
Okay.
They call that a thing, don't they? The guitar guy.
Yeah, it's the guitar guy. So
the guitarer.
It has been rumored that he has been out of the band for a while, but he didn't announce it officially until a couple of weeks ago. or 1 week ago. Time is meaningless. I've got his statement here related to this. Now, I think that we all remember the As I Lay Dying saga, right? I don't need to fucking retread this, right?
No, we've talked it to death. Let's go.
Okay. I am deeply appreciative for the love, care, and concern I have been messaged with over the past year while being largely absent from social activity. My days have been occupied with a motion design career, deep focus on my family, taking care of my health, and working on other creative projects. Real life has a way of crowding out time for things like social media, so I apologize to those of you who reached out to me for answers regarding my disassociation from As I Lay Dying and never heard back. I have been trying to move on peacefully in life. At this point, though, it's been well over a year since I have distanced myself from them on a personal and professional level. In that time, they have only given fans merchandising posts and show announcements. This sort of activity highlights and reinforces our differences. Respectfully, I left because the story and meaning we built our reunion upon decayed considerably over time. What primarily endures is a superficial pursuit I cannot justify supporting or being part of. This is not an indictment on any whom choose to remain or be involved. There is tremendous good that can be accomplished through singular focus on the power of music. However, to my memory and recent experience, it comes at the cost of tolerating behavior which at times mistreats, disrespects, and hurts other people. I do not have it in me to walk that road again. The talent and unshakable ambition of the band is undeniable. They will continue to release successful music and do great business. On a human level, I hope everything else fares well for them. I am grateful for the lessons I've learned and the incredible people I've been able to meet and connect with the past 17 years. I'll be around. Love to all. Nick Hippa. So it seems to me what he is saying in a very nice and flowery manner here is that everything we said about this being a cynical cash grab, a complete dereliction of any moral standards was correct.
Yeah, right.
From the money has already dried up.
Yeah, I guess if I wanted to be even more cynical, I could say that the money dried up during COVID and it was no longer pouring in with being able to play regular shows. He was like, I guess this shit isn't worth it anymore, huh?
Right. Like he had an excuse to kind of dwell in the moral ambiguity of the whole thing. And once that excuse was gone, so too was he.
I think it's interesting when you give somebody the least charitable reading in a bad situation, how you were often right.
Yeah. I mean, look, he made a bad decision in the first place. I think a lot of people made that clear to him and everybody in this band that, you know, bringing Tim Lambesis back into the mix and just continuing on like nothing happened and making this like sad roundtable Christian redemption Last Supper video about the whole thing was just so like,
that was one of the funniest moments I think
it was
in
like
metal
it was
history.
Like a hostage video.
One day I'm gonna take the video, I'm just gonna make GIFs out of all the faces while Tim's talking.
Their eyes are averted, they're all just kind of looking down, their shoulders are slumped in like a bare room. Yeah, might as well just ask for $10,000 and no one gets hurt.
All the guys that had to do fucking vacation Bible school when they were kids are just remembering the verse about 50 pieces of silver or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, it's a bad time. And it was disappointing to see how stoked fans were to spend their money on it anyway. Because music good. No care if bad people. Just good music, I guess.
Like, there aren't 10 million interchangeable bands exactly fucking like this.
Of course and not.
This wasn't even the first time this kind of happens, because the members started another band, Woven War, and put out an album, and that wasn't successful. So they tried this and made a little money for a while, and I guess with COVID and no shows, and Tim Lambesis falling dick first into a fire, I guess it just wasn't worth it anymore.
I think they might have had more success if, like, they just replaced him as a vocalist. Like, someone with a big name, you know?
I don't know. I mean, like, that's kind of what they were trying to do with Woven War, but apparently people can't stop the magnetic presses of magnetic presence of Tim fucking Lambesis. That's such a hard word to put in there. Lambesis.
Lambesis. I like he's like a Dracula. Yeah. Tim Lambesis. But we've seen it happen before, right? Where people think that, all right, because the big name guy isn't here anymore, we should just change our name and do something totally different and start from the ground up. And we've seen it time and time and time again. It's never successful. It never goes anywhere. That name recognition, that label recognition, everything, it's just, it goes away when you start a new brand like that.
Yeah.
So
and even then, if you keep the same band, sometimes it's never going to happen again in the case of Suicide Silence.
It's true. I mean, they had, I think they put out a really stupid song that got them enough notice that people still cared. But yeah, no, they should have just they should have just got like Howard Jones from Killswitch Engage. He was free at the time. They should have just put him in it because he was from one of those interchangeable bands.
Yeah, that probably would have been the right call.
Yeah. Oh well.
I do like that. No one called Phil from All That Remains again.
Again.
He was busy. He had prior engagements. He couldn't.
Yeah, I mean just this weekend he was retweeting some asshole from Rebel Media comparing COVID vaccination mandates to Auschwitz.
Now was I'm a little fuzzy on my history. I don't think that Auschwitz was a public health concern and like this was something we want to do to help people be safe from disease. I think it was very much the opposite, right?
Yeah, you'd think so. This is based off of someone tweeting about how a vaccine mandate is about freedom, freedom to work, freedom to go to school, freedom to live a healthy life. And this knob, Ezra Levant, or Levant, I'm sure Canadian people already know who they are, said that's literally the translation of the sign the Nazis put over the gate to Auschwitz and posted a picture of it.
Again, I'm not familiar entirely, and my German is rusty, but I don't think that's the literal translation.
Correct.
No, that's cool. You don't even have to try if you're like a conservative pundit. You can just say whatever you don't like is very clearly just something it's not. And you have a bunch of chuckleheads like libertarian, not a Republican, not a right winger. I'm a libertarian. I don't agree with your teams or whatever guy like Phil Abonte just going all in on it like a fucking asshole.
Anytime anyone makes me wear a mask, it's literally Auschwitz. It's literally Auschwitz. Anyway, all of the children in the concentration camp over by Mexico, that's going great that I voted
yeah.
for. That's awesome. Anyway.
No, cool. Thanks for bringing that up. I'm mad now.
It just went under the radar and it infuriated me and just, I need to share my anger when it comes to things like that.
Understandable. Now, how about we transfer to something that's a little bit more fun, something we can kind of sink our teeth into a little bit.
Is that real anymore? Do they still make those?
So I can tell you this, like I got a bunch of stuff on deck that we can talk about that's various levels of absurd. But I think the thing that's funniest to me is the new Bad Wolves track.
If the day ends in Y, there's news about Bad Wolves.
What's in your head? In your head? Tommy, Tommy, Tommy. Guess your career's dead. Better be right wing instead. Tommy, Tommy.
Yeah, they released a new single with DL Polishvitz from
DL Hughley.
yes, DL Hughley, formerly of the Acacia Strain.
DL Hughhead, yeah. Hey, man, good for them for grabbing some giant tattooed head from Chicopee, Massachusetts to just...
The head is absolutely fucking massive.
That's just, I think that's just like a Chicopee Polish guy trait. They need it for you know, butting each other like rams when they fight. So I thought that was just such an interesting choice, because here we have this band that became massively popular over the last couple of years for reasons that they didn't deserve. You know, they just made a rock cover of a song people already liked, and they had money and they had fame, and they could have gone with really anybody for a vocalist. And
so they went with a guitarist from a deathcore band.
Right, right. And I think Tommy Vext had made the same kind of jokes, and I hate to agree with him on anything because that's just generally not possible. But yeah, this one's a bit of a head scratcher. Do we want to play a little tidbit from a new track, Lifeline, with new vocalist D.L. Laska Witchsky, Visky, Visk, Skrewski Brewski?
I would love nothing more than to subject our listeners to a bit of the new Bad Wolves.
All right, here it is. Reaching out, give me a lifeline. I don't know if I can carry this on my own. What did you guys think? Do you like it?
I find it baffling, my dude. Like,
because these dudes at like the Bad Wolves crowd of 20-year-old pickup truck drivers, and I don't mean they're 20 years old. They're like 41. I'm talking about the pickup truck they have is 20 years old with 298,000 miles on the engine. Those guys usually talk pretty tough. They have some stickers on the back of said truck that might show some form of aggression, and then they listen to music like this. Make it make sense.
Maybe just because I've been like taking the vocal lessons I've been trying to learn about vocal performance, and I can't get over several factors at play here, including, I guess the most prominently, like how incredibly auto-tuned it all is. Like that's a computer noise.
It's like if anyone uses Photoshop, they just turn the smooth all the way up.
Yeah, like Calista Gingrich's face.
It's just very, very polished to the point where you know it's not just him. Like, treble kicked up a little bit, music squashed down just a little bit so you can hear it a lot clearer. And I mean, this is what the band does. This is what these types of bands do. It's straight and to the point, and everything's clean and nice sounding, so you can sing along to it, and it's easily memorable, because that's essentially the goal of the band, isn't it? To be a pop rock band.
One of your friends' moms on Instagram, she had kids young, so she's only about 46 now. So when she uses that filter to cover up her face and transform herself into a totally different woman with like a glow worm sort of attribute that just doesn't really exist anywhere in human nature. I mean, that's how this singing sounds.
I guess the other thing about it is that the delivery is so aggressive for being so light.
Just aggressively light.
I think if I had to compare it to something, like we were to look at the pop rock of the 1980s, like Bryan Adams has a harsher delivery than this.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is definitely light beer. That's what it is. Yeah, just, right. You know, light on calories, but not light on flavor.
I wish them a ton of success with this song, not because I like it or them, because it will piss off Tommy Vext so much. And that's what I live for now.
rooting for like the final meltdown on this.
Tommy Vexed is like leaning his oversized steroid biceps on some overpaid desk right now, wondering how the hell he's not going to get his Lamborghini repossessed in the next few weeks. And he's just, his giant head is just beads of sweat right now as he's shivering in rage at the fact that Bad Wolves dare continue on with someone who's not him.
I think that's what it is, Breno. You unintentionally pointed out they both got HGH head.
Yeah. Is there you're that gym guy, is there's that there's the thing that you just put your face against and turn your head right to left? They probably just do that for like 700 reps every day.
I can't speak to like the physiological like attributes of that being a good idea or not, but yes, that's exactly what's going on. That just, and like massive chemical doses,
just rack 450 pounds on that neck stretch, sucker, just
I think that no matter what happens from here, it's going to continue to be a source of something that just kind of brings me a little bit of a larf, a nice little larf, a chuckle on a Wednesday afternoon.
Have we seen that Tommy Wolves is, Tommy Wolves, Tommy Vex and the B ampersand D W number 8 L V number 3 S? Tommy Vexed and the Bad Wolves, spelt like leaked speak from 2003.
He's currently facing an injunction against using that name.
Yeah.
The gloves are off and they're sniping at each other for real now. So we've seen a lot more of this, just a lot of going back and forth. One weird thing that I saw maybe a week or two ago was, I think, when little clips of this new song came out and Tommy Vexed was trying to like claim that he wrote the song or something like that. Adult film star Karma RX had like posted a clip of Tommy Vexed singing the song.
A lot of things going on in that statement, Jordan. You want to clarify for us?
No, I don't know how to clarify that. It's just this weird thing that happened and was never really expanded upon, or kind of wondering why this person has some of his songs and is sending it out.
Yeah, it's like a Barbie doll porno lady, the kind that like no one really wants to watch anymore. It's like been 20 years since that's been a look.
I mean, you have to remember that there are probably plenty of people who that's like their thing. You know, they came of age in 1991 and that's like the thing that they're into.
That's those pickup truck drivers I was talking about. That's why rock radio is the way that it is. But okay, so we know her crowd. That's why she's there defending Tommy Vex. That makes sense to me.
So there was a couple of days ago, Bad Wolves put out a statement. I'll just zip through it real quick. Since Tommy Vex quit Bad Wolves in January, we have all largely stayed silent. We are prioritizing our search for a new singer, making music and focusing on the band's future, blah, 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 talking about DL. It's unfortunate we must bear witness to Tommy Vex's never-ending temper tantrums on social media, filled with fraudulent claims and sad attempts to defame members of our band and our team. Truth is that Tommy was abusive, both emotionally and physically. While in the band, he continues to be abusive since quitting the group. Childishly asserted many falsehoods, refuting them all would be a waste of time and divert our energy from making music, which is our priority. However, we will not stand for our artistic contributions to be diminished, so here are some points that we feel are important to clarify before we move ahead with the next chapter.
Oh, great.
10 of the 13 songs on our first album, Disobey, were musically written and recorded before Tommy joined the band. Mm-hmm. Killing Me Slowly is an example of a song done in collaboration with outside writers. Tommy changed a few lyrics and then publicly claimed to be the mastermind behind the song. That is false, which is why others, including members from the band, are credited on the track. When we were shooting the video for Better Off This Way, blah, 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 Tommy refused to let any other members be in the video. Then, to make matters worse, he illegally leaked it after quitting the band. Bad Wolves is and will remain a creative collective where no one member, inside or outside the band, holds the keys to the group's success. And Vex put out an Instagram post refuting that, which is now gone. But there was also a tweet from KarmaRX. It's funny how Bad Wolves will steal Tommy Vex material and release it in the middle of a lawsuit without realizing that dozens of us already heard the original versions of this album, and posted a clip of it, which has now been disabled.
You know, I think this is really an indictment of the state of modern radio rock or whatever, but this is essentially the Biggie versus Tupac of this genre.
What? God, I hope not. we all know how that ended up.
I do have one update from you know, I mention it all the time. Moshoff texts me every day with updates from Tommy Vec's Instagram stories. The latest update in the Tommy Vec camp is that he's taken the ivermectin.
Maybe it'll get rid of his brain worms.
I don't know, because I want to touch on this again because I kind of breezed past it, but the way that, okay, so Tommy Vec is going out with Tommy Vec and the Bad Wolves, and he's got Bad Wolves spelt with like leet speak, but Wolves, the O is replaced with an 8 instead of a 0, which that's not how that works. Like 8 is for
wheels.
It's for like Skater Boy. You know what I mean? Like, he did this shit all wrong. How did this happen?
He's not a true gamer. Yeah, he's a casual.
The Bad Waitelvies.
He's a scrub. His kill-death ratio is shit. And he games on a console.
Yeah, he can't get good. He can't.
What do you think? Have we covered the Bad Wolves beat enough for this week?
For a lifetime.
Let's go to some old guy shit then.
They love the old guy shit. I love the people who have been relevant for decades. Those are the favorites.
Here's some real ancient guy shit. Here we go. Danny Loker speaks out against cancel culture.
Why?
Remind people who Dan Loker is, because it's been a while since he's done anything of relevance.
I mean, you're familiar with Anthrax, you're familiar with Nuclear Assault. Yeah, he's a big part of both of those bands. He also did a band that did one record in the 80s and then one in the very late 90s, I believe, with Stormtroopers of Death. Stormtroopers of Death, they put out a crossover record called Speak English or Die, which musically is a very good record. Lyrically, it's just a rotten hive of 80s xenophobic nonsense.
Yeah, it's like super casual white guy racism, but people just being mad at like how the taxi driver has an accent sort of shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, he's essentially saying in this interview with Rock Talks, maybe Rock shouldn't talk.
Rock should be quiet.
Rock should probably be quiet. Stay in the home, old man. he was asked for his opinion of the current state of censorship, including cancel culture. And Danny here says something like that debut SOD record. Yeah, I mean, you could never do that now. Just trying to be obnoxious and be a bit of an asshole and be provocative. You can't do that anymore because everyone thinks that you're completely serious and full of hatred. When Nuclear Assault did a festival in Brazil, I was talking to a couple of young metalheads in the lobby of a hotel, and they said on your first album, 1986's Game Over, you had an extra song on the cassette, and it was called Lesbians. Why? Did you have a problem with lesbians? And I'm like, no, man, we wrote that song in 1985 before you were even fucking born. The point is that, like, no, of course we don't have a problem with lesbians, but that's when it was okay. Okay, well, it was never okay, but it was a stupid song. And of course, we don't mean it. We were just being obnoxious. And you can't do that anymore.
That's a great defense. That's rock solid. I don't know how to get him on this one.
Yeah. He goes on further, like, I don't care. I'm not ashamed of anything I've done. It's all been fun when it was obnoxious and I wouldn't take any of it back. I mean, fuck the Middle East, he said, but it's still true.
Okay. Okay.
So he, you know, there's also a bit here included with Scott Ian, who of course was also playing on that Stormtroopers of Death record. And he's like, I created a character, wrote songs based on it. And if you don't get it, go fuck yourself. I'll never apologize because that's where it comes from. Now, I noticed in this article that, you know, it's all a joke, that you can't do any of this stuff anymore. And they did neglect to mention that MOD has been a band since Stormtroopers of Death and continues to this day as one of the worst bands in metal.
Yeah, it's like they keep saying it was a joke, it was character, something like that. But Billy Milano, this is who he is. This is what he's been doing his entire life. We have lots of proof of it in all of his terrible MOD songs.
Yeah, he's serious about it, and he's serious about making terrible music too. So yeah, that's a fun corner from the old guy shit. Again, it might be something due to the lead in the atmosphere back in those days.
Yeah. Yep.
80s thrash metal brain rot.
Real dumb guys.
Talked about it with Violence not that long ago on last week's show.
Oh yeah. The whole thing with Violence is that, was it Sean Killian?
Yes, vocalist.
Sean Killian refused to get the COVID-19 vaccine, despite the fact that he is, I would say, severely immunocompromised.
He had stage 4 liver cirrhosis and had his liver replaced.
Right. He had a pretty, if you want to go back and listen to that episode, you probably should, because his defense of doing so was rock solid. But I can kind of encapsulate it with one word, and that is freedom.
Freedom. Yeah.
So much freedom.
I did it because I wanted to. You can't tell me what to do. I am an adult. Great stuff, so man.
What's going on with the Violence nowadays?
Nothing, right? Who cares?
Well, some members are staying home with their families who have, drumroll, all gotten COVID.
I could have never seen that show coming.
And now they're saying one of their shows was a spreader event.
I love it when the band can just say with a chuckle, it was a super spreader event. Ha!
Our lives are in danger.
Do you have the quote in front of you? Because this is something else, man.
No.
I got it. Yeah, we played a show in Fresno about a month ago. Turned out to be a super spreader event. They include in the transcription laughing. In the whole house here, well, we all got COVID, so we spent a couple of weeks healing up and getting better. And that was our first show with Bobby Gustafson, X Overkill, and Christian Old Walbers from Fear Factory and Powerflow. It was their first show with us. We played a small, I think, 300-capacity club, and it was a petri dish of just the plague. And it served its purpose other than getting everybody the sickness. Just the casual, like, the casual atmosphere with this, where, like, Sean Killian, like, might die.
This was Phil Demo saying this, right?
Yes, that's correct. So, yeah. We'll see how that goes. I feel like this is an underrated story. We'll see where it goes in the future. I don't think there's anything you can do to reason with these old guys, man.
They want to play their shows, and there's nothing you could say to stop them until they get sick. And then they just take a couple days off and then go back out on the road. And sometimes you have someone like Jonathan Davis who has to like sit in a chair while doing Korn songs now because he just doesn't have the strength and the lung capacity to continue on. And now I just read Monkey from Korn has COVID as well. Just stay home, guys. Please stay home.
God right. Damn, dude.
It's like, and I see people who were doing the right thing all during 2020 and staying home and not going to certain events and things like that were still happening because there was a very legitimate COVID-19 scare, but guys, there still fucking is. It's worse than ever. Like I see people uploading pictures of shows and I just wonder, like, okay, it's great you're legally allowed to do it, but maybe just make the mental decision not to, please.
I got fitted for a respirator the other day so I can, you know, try to avoid getting sick at work. And I got to say, after wearing an N95 for the past 6 months or so, that you can't breathe in this shit. Like, it is heavy duty stuff. They're not taking any chances with it. So, again, the transmissibility of this is off the charts.
You will get it. If you go to a place with a lot of people packed together, you're gonna fucking get it if you haven't gotten it already.
Yeah. Again, I can't believe it, but there are so many people just popping out of the woodwork. People that maybe have lied to me recently that they just didn't do it, just didn't want to get the vaccine. It's really doing a number on my perception of the world, my dudes.
I think it's the nurses and medical professionals who aren't getting it and are like quitting their jobs instead of getting it that really get me the most.
Oh yeah, my wife works in an old folks home, and like they lost 100 people because these people who work at an old folks home, a fucking senior care center, refused to get the vaccine for the virus that definitely kills every old person.
That is that really puts you in a pretty bad spot if you consider the implications for the whole country, right?
So stupid, right? Because it's like if these like healthcare workers who work in medicine refuse to get the vaccine, then what's that say about your local Denny's? You know, I mean, like, where the fuck are we at here?
I don't like it. I think that we're in for very, very bad times, to be honest with you, dude.
I don't know.
Like,
I guess
working at an old folks home too, like they run people ragged. There's never enough employees there to begin with because the pay is shit to start with.
Yeah, it's how most people in nursing start their career. It's all entry level, or that's how it's treated. But it's like just as stressful, if not more stressful, because these people need round the clock care. And these places were like horrible halls of death for the last 2 years. And it was directly because of this very real fucking virus. And we now have a very real vaccine that works that people are just refusing to take based on complete nonsense. It makes me want to not try anymore. I don't know.
There are all kinds of reasons why things are the way that they are now. Like the primary one, of course, is that, you know, healthcare in this country is fucking dog shit. People don't have a doctor that they see regularly, and they haven't for years and years and years, but for a number of reasons. Number one, you like can't afford it. If your insurance is shit, if you don't have insurance, so you don't have like a regular dude you see in trust. Number two, even if you do have good insurance, they've been passing you off to telehealth for so long, you just get a random fucker every time you try to get, you know, whatever's wrong with your dick diagnosed. There's like no authority figure within healthcare that you would know personally that you would trust with this. And then the other one is like, I really think Mark Zuckerberg should probably be tried for crimes against humanity.
Yeah, and I mean, like, even those shitty, completely useless telehealth calls, they still send you like an invoice for like a legitimate doctor visit.
And you're just like, thanks. I love paying $150 to talk with somebody on a phone who's fucking dicking around with their Nintendo Switch.
The next doctor that wants to see me on like my webcam, I'm gonna put my puckering asshole right up to the camera and tell him to take a good look and tell me what's up. Like, fuck you. Just fuck everything, man. I hate this shit. I hate it. Yeah. When we put on a mask and then fucking, you know, cut my balls and tell me to cough, it's fine. Just someone please look at me. I'm dying slowly.
I crave touch.
I'm just so lonely. Can some 47-year-old Jewish doctor just please cut my balls?
What do you blame this all on, Jordan?
How do I follow up with that? It's a variety of different things. We look at the Republican Party and seeing that they're just going full on anti-vax, don't wear masks, freedom, freedom, freedom. And
party of brainworms.
And a lot of incredibly stupid people are eating it up. They can't get enough of it. They just love freedom so much that they are dying. They are lying in hospital beds, wheezing, gasping for air, saying, well, I should have gotten the free shot that would have taken 5 minutes out of my life and it would have felt icky for a day. And there's no helping those people. And it doesn't make things better when there are some people in the medical world, doctors, nurses, whoever, who are like forging vaccination forms and charging people hundreds of dollars for it, for something that keeps you healthy, for something that prevents you from getting horribly sick and making other people horribly sick. And there is no words of encouragement or chiding or funny, clever tweets that are going to change some of these people. They are too far gone, and they are encouraged specifically by incredibly rich people who are already vaccinated to not get vaccinated. Your Tucker Carlson's of the world, your Fox News people of the world. And in, you know, at this point, we just have to hope that we don't come in contact with these people and get really, really sick and have lasting effects or possibly die. There's only so much you can do. And it's, you know, I know we want to say Mark Zuckerberg should be tried. It's not going to happen. George W. Bush is a war criminal. He should be tried. It's not going to happen. So the best we can do is make do with what we have and try to stay safe as possible until we're forced back to work in a couple of days and just have to pray that someone's gross kid didn't get it, and then they get it, and now I have it. If you want to talk about more uninformed bad opinions, have you heard of this feller, Attila Kisisisar of Mayhem?
I have heard of him. I believe Attila also does vocals for Sun. No.
And does not, in fact, do vocals for the band Attila.
No, that's they're very similar. Their vocal delivery is damn near the same, though.
Musically, like too, a, same. It's the same.
Yeah. I'm seeing double for Attila's. So on Instagram a couple days ago, Attila had posted a picture. I don't think this is him. I just think it is just some rando, some billy goat-looking motherfucker with a shirt that says "Transvaccinated." And underneath it, "I am not actually, quote, vaccinated, but I identify as someone who is, quote, vaccinated."
So that's pretty impressive how you can stretch and both be like anti-vax and also transphobic.
It's hitting for the cycle.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me, like, just a week ago when I was out on the road, a car in front of me had a bumper sticker that said, "I identify as a toaster." And I had to do everything in my power not to slam into the back of them with my Dragula.
I identify as the guy beating the shit out of you.
But along with this picture, he kind of confusingly, I don't really quite understand how this is related to the picture, had said, "Makes sense." And this is all, you know, misspelled. I believe he's Hungarian, so, you know, whatever.
God bless him.
Enjoy some goulash. Miraculously spelled wrong. Miraculously managed to be refused again. This time I was not allowed to leave Norway. Turned out yesterday it was a human error not to let us in the country. Today was just a system failure which caused us to miss our flights home. So we've been sent back to the quarantine hotel again. Actually, no one at the airport had a clue. Clue is spelled wrong. C-L-E-W. What was going on exactly, since all the confusing and controversial rules been changing frequently. Even the Norwegian state TV, together with Rockheim Museum, could not bail us out, etc. Needless to say, at the end, it turned out we were right all the way from the begging hee-hee. But now it's too late. I just love this new world order. Cheers and celebrate Armageddon.
The fuck are you talking about, you old freak?
I don't know. I have no idea what the connection is between that horrible, horrible shirt and there was a system error and we couldn't leave the country right now.
I don't get it at all. I have no doubt that, you know, this is one of those guys that, like, if you've been around for a while, you've heard a whole host of stories about what a fucking huge piece of shit this guy is.
I mean, yeah, mayhem. That's what their entire history and legacy is built on, being pieces of shit.
So all of this is not so surprising to me, but there was like a detail you pointed out in this this Instagram post that was a bit surprising to me.
So lots of people like this, unfortunately.
I mean, it all makes sense. It's a very cohesive post.
I mean, when you're right, you're right, Attila Kisisisar official. Shane Embry of Napalm Death liked it.
I have to wonder, like, if he was able to glean some meaning out of this that I was not, or if this is like one of those things where you see a friend post online, you don't even bother reading it. You're just like, yeah, good for you, whatever you're doing, bud.
And it wasn't just a hell yeah, brother sort of thing.
Yeah, there are various reasons why this could have happened, including, I don't know, your fingy slipping or whatever. It's just, it's very odd.
That's possible. Possible there was a fingy slip, like looking back in an ex-girlfriend's pictures from 10 years ago, late at night, and liking one by accident. That happens too.
Like a fucking pinch zoom that just goes wrong.
Yeah. No, if you find yourself in that situation, you got to delete your entire account. It's the only way around it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't get it. All of this is incomprehensible, but I can tell that it's stupid. That's as much as I need.
I am confident in that this is stupid. Stupid and bad and wrong, and it really sucks. But lots of people like it and say, yes, yes, this is the thing.
Got him. Which is really funny. If you're going to be offensive, at least be original and funny somehow. Like, actually have a good zinger. It's possible. It is. It's just
make a joke.
Right. Make an actual joke.
Follow a plot. You know, take me from A to C. You know, give me some kind of misdirection in there.
We got to wrap up the show. We got to talk about this Metallica tribute album.
All right, fine. All right, let's get to this fucking slop heap.
Do you guys have 4 hours to kill?
No, I'm a grown adult. I'm busy.
Well, apparently there are some Metallica fans out there that do, because this is what, the 30th year celebration of the Black Album, the celebration that's been going on for about 4 or 5 years. And Metallica is putting out the Metallica Blacklist, a 4-hour, 53-song collection of Black Album covers.
That's too many covers.
Like we were talking about before the show, I feel like if you're going to do this, you just have the track list as it is, and you have the best covers available that you can get. So like you would do the first song, then the second song, and those are covered by different bands, and that's fine. But I don't want to sit in my car and fucking cruise to Enter Sandman covered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fucking times in a row by 6 different groups of dopes.
I don't want to hear And Nothing Else Matters once, let alone 9 times.
These songs are everywhere and have been everywhere for almost 30 years. We know what they sound like. If people want to cover it like in a live setting and it's uploaded to YouTube, fine. That's cool. But I really don't know who this is for. Even like hardcore Metallica fans can't possibly be dying to hear Volbeat cover Don't Tread on Me.
Even less so Mac DeMarco covering Enter Sandman.
I would rather fucking die than listen to that, man.
So I'll run through this list real quick. There's a lot of people I don't know who they are, and you know, feel free to jump in and give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down if you want. But Alessia Cara and The Warning covering Enter Sandman.
Don't know.
No fucking clue.
Mac DeMarco, Enter Sandman.
Right.
He's a guy that's does chill vibe songs.
Like, not like Richard Cheese fun lounge stuff, like smooth. No,
he's like a cool, like hip stoner type dude. You know, he's like laid back and it fucking sucks.
And you just want to hit him with a guitar.
Yeah, yep. He looks he's like 22 and looks like a fucking 47-year-old Phil Collins or something.
He looks like Flea to me.
Flea, you're right. It's Flea in a hat with hair. Yeah. It's him.
Then you have Ghost doing Enter Sandman. Now, I've listened to this song. It's been released. I'm not particularly a fan of Ghost. They're fine, whatever. This cover isn't good, and I refuse to be gaslit by people saying it is.
Yeah, it's not good. I like Ghost, and it's not good.
I don't like Ghost, and I think this song really did it for me in that I just hate his vocals, man. I hate those vocals. You're too chill. You need to take it up a notch, man.
Went to Sandman.
That's an excellent Ghost impression.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Now do some ABBA with that voice.
Mama you mia. Are the dancing queen.
Goddamn. Perfect.
Thank you.
Got him. Next song, another Enter Sandman. Juanes?
Is that Mexican for penis? I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought that was penne.
That's not real.
Rina Sawayama, Enter Sandman.
Rina Sawayama.
Maybe like a J-pop artist or something?
That could possibly be fun. I would like to hear a real upbeat baby metal style Enter Sandman. The next one, even more than Ghost, this cannot possibly be good. Weezer covering Enter Sandman.
God damn, man. I whatever I have to do to not hear that, like, I'm willing to take all precautions.
Gonna be out at the Stop and Shop somewhere and hear this in a year.
Probably.
Rina Sawayama is, I'm sorry, she's a Japanese-British singer, songwriter, model, and actress based in London. She looks very young and too hip for me.
Who else?
Sam Fender, Sad But True Live.
I have never heard that. I assume it's Freddie Fender's kid.
That's the guy who makes the guitars. That's him.
Yes.
Jason Isbell, Sad But True.
Love Jason Isbell. No desire to hear the song.
Mexican Institute of Sound featuring La Perla and Jera MX.
Maybe they can tell me what Juanes means.
I don't know what that is, but it does give me deep, like, 1992 pop house kind of vibes. Like, this is the rhythm of the night.
Sad But True, Sad But True.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
Royal Blood, Sad But True.
Royal Blood is one of those stomp clap bands, I think.
I confuse them with Royal Thunder.
Oh, I just did the same thing, Jordan.
Yeah, I don't know. Royal Blood, there you go. St. Vincent, Sad But True.
Oh, that's the lady with the guitar.
Yes. White Reaper, Sad But True. That sounds like a controversial name.
White Reaper.
I don't know this band at all, but I am positive they sound exactly like the Black Keys.
If it's all black dudes and their name is White Reaper, that's cool. But if it's not,
that's cool.
Right.
Yeah, no, I have a feeling that a lot of their t-shirts could be bought up by Proud Boys.
White Reaper. Let me Google this real quick. Let me see if I can find some kind of band name or something. All white dudes.
Proud Boys that shoot themselves in the foot and are caught on film weeping and crying. And
it's definitely like a bunch of Telecaster bros with like a keyboard. It's bad. It's bad.
Black Keys band. Knew it.
Yep.
I don't know if this is YB or YIB, but Sad But True.
Young Blood. That's who that is.
You familiar?
No, it's just that's right. That's gotta be him, right?
Sure.
YB.
Let's go with that.
Sure.
YIB. Biffy Clyro, holier than thou.
I'm pretty sure I wrote an article about Biffy Clyro years ago, and that I was convinced it was not a real band in America. Nobody could convince me otherwise.
Wow, they're not wearing shirts in any of their pictures.
Should they be?
It's like an anorexic Jason Momoa.
This is Gem in the Holograms, as far as I'm concerned. Not a real band.
Not a real band.
The Chats, holier than thou.
The Chats, holier than thou.
Oh, they're the Australian Boggin dudes that did On Smoko, song about not wanting to work because you're smoking a cigarette. Pretty good.
Oh my God, look at this guy's fucking hair.
Yeah, they really play up the white trash angle.
Oh, wow. Love it.
Do they have a clever nickname for white trash in Australia? Because they have nicknames Boggin for everything else. Oh, Boggin? Okay.
Isn't it Dagos?
Boglins.
No, a Dago is an eye tie.
What's an eye tie?
An Italian.
Oh.
Okay.
I thought it was like Dagos, like they just let the Dago by. Like, doesn't that just sound like an Australian joke?
I'm pretty sure I heard that one in elementary school.
You're right.
Next song, the band Off! Exclamation point, holier than thou.
Oh yeah, that's the band that has like the guy from the Circle Jerks and stuff.
This is the worst list.
I just think of that stuff that you spray on your legs before you go outside so you don't get bugs.
That's what I googled, and that's what I'm getting.
Next song, holier than thou again. Pup. You guys, big pup heads.
I think I know who the band is.
I like Puppy.
And they're Skinny Puppy.
Pup is another one of those bands that's probably playing on your local NPR affiliate.
Yeah.
We're just out of names, aren't we?
Yep.
And this this one you'll know, Corey motherfucking Taylor, Holier Than Thou.
Oh, good. Can't wait to hear that one.
Oh, it's your favorite band coming up next, Joe.
Cage the Elephant with the Unforgiven.
That's why I'm unforgiven.
Oh, you Unforgiven too. Next song, again, Unforgiven. Vishal Dadlani, Divine Shore Police.
Sure, yes.
The Unforgiven by Diet Sig.
I think that's another one of those NPR bands.
It sounds very NPR.
Now this one is actually interesting and different. Flatbush Zombies featuring DJ Scratch, The Unforgiven. Now that sounds something that would show up on like the Spawn soundtrack.
All right, we'll give that one a listen then.
Next one for The Unforgiven. Ha Star Symbol Ash. I assume it's pronounced hash, but there's a little star symbol in the middle of it. So
what's it called? Asterisk.
Yeah, sure. Ha asterisk ash.
No idea, man.
Jose Madero, The Unforgiven.
But, no, I'm afraid I don't know that one either, man.
No way, Jose.
Moses Sumney, The Unforgiven.
Great name. No idea.
Moses Sumney, I picture him as being like a beardy, sensitive type. Nope, he's black and hot as shit. He's so
buff.
I was
picturing like a baseball player from the 1800s.
This guy is like the most beautiful guy, Moses Sumney.
I'll listen to this one, but only because he's hot.
He's just too hot. Like, look up a picture from him, and you're just like, God damn.
Hot right, Moses Fall is upon us.
Okay, yeah, no, you're right. He's this dude is incredibly stacked.
he's like pure sex in human form. It's ridiculous. No one should look this good. Yeah. All right, moving on. Yeah.
J Balvin doing Wherever I May Roam.
J Balvin is familiar to me, but I can't quite place it. I'm pretty sure it sucks, though.
Chase and Status featuring Beck Road G, Wherever I May Roam.
No idea, dude.
Sounds the most NPR pile I've ever heard.
The Neptunes, Wherever I May Roam.
Yeah, I don't know the Neptunes.
Is like Pharrell on this, or is it the other guy?
Just says the Neptunes.
Okay, we'll see.
John Party, P-A-R-D-I, not the fun kind of Andrew WK version.
No.
John Party, Wherever I May Roam.
Huge missed opportunity. Just be John Party. It's your persona right there.
Well, Andrew WK was busy with his most recent album, God is Partying, which got a 7.5 on Blyermouth.com. The only reason I know that is because it's right here next to the list we're both reading.
Sebastian, Don't Tread on Else Matters. I hope that's a typo.
I'm gonna have to check that one out.
Just morbid curiosity right now. Next song, Portugal, period, the Man featuring Aaron Beam, Don't Tread on Me.
Portugal the Man is very, very popular among a certain kind of, I don't know, let's say lacrosse bro circa 2007.
Ah, yes.
As we mentioned earlier, Volbeat, Don't Tread on Me. I guess if you're going to want to have a cover from a band that kind of sounds like them, Volbeat's the band you want to do it with. Next song, Through the Never by The Who.
We've talked about The Who before on the show, specifically their song they did with Jacoby Shaddix from Papa Roach.
That had like a billion views on YouTube.
Yeah.
And just made me feel so bad for Tengar Cavalry.
Yeah, they really got the fucking rough end of the deal on that one.
Next song, Tommy... I wonder if this is a real name or it's, what is it when saying something's cute online?
Ooh.
Tommy Owo, Through the Never.
It does. It looks like the anime face that you would make. Owo.
Well, if the other one isn't, you know, a super kawaii version of, you know, the track, hopefully this won't do it for you.
Here's another lady with a guitar that's popular on Twitter. Phoebe Bridgers. Nothing else matters.
Can't wait to never listen to that one.
Yeah.
Well, if you're ready to never listen to this one, you're really going to never listen to this one. Miley Cyrus featuring what? Elton John, Yo-Yo Ma, Robert Trujillo, which how does that work? And Chad Smith, Nothing Else Matters.
That's just like Fuck, an all-star cavalcade, man. How did Yo-Yo Ma get fucking hooked into doing this shit?
How did Elton John?
He loves bad music. He loves bad music.
He did that song with Eminem like 15 years ago.
That's true.
And I don't know who Watt is, but hopefully it's not Mike Watt.
Something tells me he doesn't quite have the all-star acclaim to make this list. He's just a working man.
In the room with Elton John, Yo-Yo Ma, Miley Cyrus is Mike Watt. Next song, Dave Gahan.
Oh, that's the guy from fucking Depeche Mode.
Huh. That could be interesting, I suppose.
I like that.
Nothing
guy.
Else matters.
That would probably work.
Mikey Guyton or Mickey Guyton. Nothing else matters.
Nah, that's not a real person.
Dermot Kennedy. Nothing else matters.
That's just a bot generated wasp.
Mon Lafert. Nothing else matters.
Bot generated.
I'm not making up Canadian. Names. This is the list. Igor Levitt, nothing else matters.
Sure, man. I know Igor.
Now, this one you're probably going to hear on any of your aging boomers, sort of hippie-ish stations. My Morning Jacket, nothing else matters.
Ooh, that's a throwback and a very unpleasant one at that.
I'm assuming this is PG Roxette and not Pig Roxette. PG Roxette, nothing else matters.
Related to the 1980s Roxette?
Yeah, I'm going to start a band called Pig Roxette just because of that.
Darius Rucker, Nothing Else Matters.
Hootie!
It'll be a huge hit, I am sure.
Nothing else matters.
Chris Stapleton, Nothing Else Matters.
Chris Stapleton doesn't matter.
Trezor, Nothing Else Matters.
That's a lot of... All right, Nothing Else Matters has like 20 covers so far. That's fucking gross.
And then there's like a couple of songs where there's one, like this next one, Goodnight Texas of Wolf and Man.
That's because of Wolf and Man is too hard of a song for these normies to play. Of Wolf and Man is too fucking elite.
Idols, The God That Failed.
Which one's Idols?
I saw Idols on accident at a festival I got a free entry to. They were okay.
They're like one of those, they're totally like NPR mustache guys.
Imelda May, The God That Failed.
Great name, don't know it.
Cherry Glazerer, My Friend of Misery.
NPR rock.
Zia, My Friend of Misery.
NPR R&B.
Yep.
Kamasi Washington. My Friend of Misery.
Let me see.
Is that the guy from TV on the Radio?
Yeah, he's got a saxophone. This is, he looks like he rules. I don't know. He's got like a,
I might have that
afro
name entirely
saxophone.
Wrong. I apologize.
Yeah, and he's wearing like traditional like African garb and stuff.
And finally, Rodrigo y Gabriela, The Struggle Within.
Boy, that's a fucking name I have not heard in a long time.
Right, and the last time you heard about it, right? The last time you heard about it is when they covered Metallica on a slappy little acoustic jam.
That and they did This Is Halloween was their other big one from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, that's I bought one of their records for Christmas for my brother-in-law that really likes blues music. I was like, please listen to something other than Stevie Ray Vaughan.
And that's it. That's the whole list.
4 hours. And some of the money does go to charity, which is nice, but 53 tracks, most of them the same songs. This wasn't Metallica used for torturing people during the Iraq War?
Yeah. Yep.
You can do the same thing just by reading the list out loud.
So I don't know if I have the right product listing in front of me. I don't think that I do, actually, because I'm looking at the deluxe Black Album remastered box set that is like 90 different CDs, DVDs, and pieces of vinyl. And I don't think it includes the covers, so you can just hear the original versions over and over and over again. Bad news, though, it's sold out at the original rate of $240.
Those are people flipping it on Discogs, right? At least some of them?
Almost certainly. But the thing is, I can't... maybe I just can't tell where people's brains are at. I just can't imagine this going for any more than $240.
Is it like people around our age and even slightly older now, like going nuts for Pokemon cards because we're so starved to just get any sort of personal entertainment or a shred of joy from our youth that this is it now for people? Like, yeah, I'm going to get the album I grew up with for hundreds of dollars and I get to hear the alternative takes and that will make me happy.
I have to assume that's the case, man. I have no idea why otherwise people would give a shit about this or about some guy talking about a TV show for babies you watched when you were a fucking baby and caring about it.
Just like a deep dive YouTube video for 4 hours about like the fan theories of what happened to the Rugrats. That's my jam, dude. That's the shit right there. Speaking of shit, I'm sure we all need to start taking one because it's been a good long time. We've had a nice long episode here, and we gotta wipe this one off and flush it. So, what do you boys say? Anything else we want to talk about before we let everybody go?
No, we are absolutely over time. We can't waste another second.
Okay, keep it metal, and we will see you next week.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Good job, guys.
I'm sorry.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.